morning, our sermon is continuing in our church series, as you can see on the wall there, looking at our church core values and the vital subject of prayer. And we're hearing God speak as we meet together in these recent weeks, as we seek to strengthen our personal and our church roots in Him. And I pray that He continues to do that this morning. I was encouraged when Kirsty came in, the first thing she said was, well, just to let you know, the church in Lewis are praying for you this morning. And that just, for our church, and that just fits in with where we're going. This week, the starter on our gas cooker was just intermittently working. It was very annoying. It just was not lighting up more often than not. And it made me wonder if that's something like a picture of our life as individuals and even as a church at times in prayer, something that can be intermittent or misfiring, but not achieving its purpose. But what a difference it will make for us both personally and corporately to see prayer fired up, restored to full power, to see God at work in a special way. Because as we've heard already today, we can't do anything without the power of God. I've been really blessed by these studies and talks that we've had so far, and it's been really encouraging to hear from people just how helpful and challenging the series is proving to be already. And we've still got a lot to cover. But I would encourage you, if you sense God speaking to you, please share it with us, and maybe to others or in the home group or in the youth group, so that we can pray for you and know that God is speaking through His word and at work amongst us, which is such an encouragement. Our specific focus this morning is on intercessory prayer. And I'm pretty sure I've never heard a sermon on intercession. It's not really a word that's used much today. If I asked you if you knew what an intercessory prayer was and had ever prayed one, I wonder what you would say. So maybe best just to start with that simple question. What is intercessory prayer? Because I'm pretty sure we have all done it. You may not even realize that what you've been doing is intercessory prayer. But in its simplest form, it's just this: praying on behalf of others. So in recent weeks at church, we have had someone praying an intercessory prayer in the service. Generally, this is a prayer that thinks about our church and community and the world, and we'll come back to that later on. The Bible's got plenty to say on this subject, and we'll dip into some of these verses and stories this morning as we go. And intercession is also a spiritual gift, as well as something that all Christians are called to do, and we'll unpack that a little bit later as well. So why should we be intercessors? Well, first of all, because God in Trinity is constantly involved in intercession. In Romans 8, we read from verse 26, we do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit Himself intercedes for us through wordless groans. And He who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for God's people in accordance with the will of God. And then further down, verse 33, we read, Jesus Christ, Jesus who died, more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us. So His Spirit intercedes for us on earth, perfecting our prayers, bringing us into the will of God, presenting them to God. And Jesus intercedes for you and for me as our ambassador in heaven before the Father. So ultimately, true intercessory prayer is all about God, about looking to Him, about relying on Him, and trusting for His will to be done for others. So if it's important to God, it should be important to us. Oswald Chambers, the great author, said, the real business of your life is intercessory prayer. He says, prayer is the great work. Sometimes it's just an occasional added extra, rather than being the whole of what we are about in our walk with God. And sometimes we just don't have the words to say. As we just read there in verse 27, the Spirit himself intercedes for us through wordless groans. We do not know what we ought to pray for. And there's situations where that can happen. I know a young family in Edinburgh from Bellevue Church who worked with 20 schemes. And last week, the young mother took her own life, leaving her husband and two young children. What can he pray? What can you say? God, by his Spirit, understands the darkest pain of life, and in our groans, intercedes for us to present our deepest hurts to him. His name's Paul. I'd ask you to pray for him and his family particularly, as the funeral will be approaching. Our intercessory prayers cause us to be outward looking and to think about others' needs. It's so easy to be caught up in our own needs and requests, our work, our families, our busy lives, and not to give any thought to others. And that's why we started these intercessory prayers, because being in church sometimes can feel like it's all about me. It's all about me and God. And it is that, but it's much more. So these prayers help us to not become too insular, to turn away from ourselves on a Sunday morning and to consider God's wider world. Intercessory prayer is a way of showing our love for others. We're going to do that now. James has got a busy morning. He's on drums, fresh from passing his driving test. James is going to come and lead us in prayer. Thanks, James.
Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we as a church want to thank you for the God that you are, who loves us and cares for us, and demonstrated that by sending your Son to be the sacrifice for our sins and bring us into a restored relationship with you. We come here before you as are your children and pray for the needs within the world. In particular, we want to pray for great wisdom for those in leadership within the world, and that you would influence decision making that affects how we live. At this time of political crisis in the UK, we pray that politicians would show wisdom and restraint in how they deal with each other and as they seek to find a solution to the difficulties we are faced with. We pray once again for the residents of the Bahamas who have been affected by the recent hurricane, and ask that the aid and relief that is on offer would help get them back their lives together. Thank you for placing our church within this community, a community that has a variety of different lifestyles and needs, and we pray that the good news of the gospel would impact the lives of those who live and work within this area. In particular, we pray for those in authority, the police, local councillors, teachers, and people working for the emergency and health services. And we pray that they would work in a fair and honest way to look after the needs of our community. We also pray for Alison Henderson and her close links with our local primary school. We ask that there would be a continued open door for this Christian influence with children and families in the Kirtlestown area. We want to thank you for this church and for the journey you've placed us all in for the past 12 years. We pray that you protect this family we have, and that we all grow in our friendships and faith together. We pray for our staff team, and that it would be kept well and protected from attacks from the devil, and that they might be able to help us as we seek to be your witnesses. We pray for those who are or have recently been unwell, and we ask that you would be close to them and bear them up in your everlasting arms as they would go through challenging times. We pray that as we listen to the preaching of your word, that it would have a real impact in our lives so that those around us would see the difference Jesus makes. We ask all these things in your name. Amen.
So God, by the Trinity, is always involved in intercession. And God wants us to intercede for others. In the book of Ezekiel, there's a call from God for someone to stand before me in the gap on behalf of the land. And God is looking for us to be doing that. And 1 Timothy 2, we read, first of all then, I urge that requests, prayers, intercessions, and thanks be offered on behalf of all people. I read this week that prayer can feel like a butterfly confronting a cliff. Sometimes we just feel so powerless and insignificant. But that is not the truth, because prayer makes a difference. Prayer changes things, and God longs to hear our prayers. There are many examples of these kinds of prayers throughout the Bible in the lives of David and Nehemiah. Jesus himself prayed for us when he was here on earth. The Old Testament gives us at least two examples from the life of Moses of dramatic intercession. We read how he sent Joshua out to lead the army of Israel in battle as he watched from a mountaintop overlooking what was going on, lifting his arms in prayer to God for victory. And then later on, after the people had made a golden calf to worship while Moses was up the mountain, Moses seemed to have a thing about mountains. He was receiving the Ten Commandments, and he pleads to God to spare the people from his terrible judgment. He says, turn from your fierce anger, relent, and do not bring disaster on your people. And we read that finally God relented and the people were spared. Intercessory prayer makes a difference. I've been reminded recently, mentioned to a couple of people, of a film called Sliding Doors. It's an old one, but in this film, a woman makes a choice one day, and then the film splits into two stories showing two separate outcomes. What if she had not made that decision? And what because she did? And it made me think that's exactly what the Christian's prayer life is like each day. We can go through the day ourselves, living by our own abilities, without thought of God, or we can walk and pray in his ways. Probably for most of us, the reality is that we drift into the ways of God for short times, but more often go our own way, use our own abilities, do our work in our own strength. But if we choose to walk in his ways, every outcome of that day will be the right one. Every choice and decision that we make, the way we interact and respond to others will be the best ones, because we are prayerful people who rely on him and listen to him. He will lead us to pray for others and put people and situations on our hearts to bring to him. And in all of a routine day, God will be glorified. Why would we want to settle for anything less than God's best for our lives and to bring his power into the lives of others through prayer? As Clive reminded us last week, our Christian life is not like a spiritual retreat. We are in a war zone. Why does the devil invest so much to discourage and distract us from prayer? Why is prayer fundamentally so difficult for most Christians? Because the devil fears the prayers of God's people. He knows that they make a difference and that they defeat his plans. And so we should intercede in prayer, because it overcomes the devil and his power. Ephesians 6 says, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. And I read a very dramatic story of a Christian guy who was in London for a meeting. He was here early. And as he was there, he considered the terrorist attack that had previously taken place there, and suddenly had an unexpected and an overwhelming sense of imminent danger, that he needed to pray and intercede for those around him. And he walked around for an hour, praying as he'd never prayed before, for the safety of the crowds that he passed, for those in the buildings around. And at 7:30, he finished and he went into a cafe. 7 minutes later, a terrorist drove into cyclists and pedestrians on the bridge where he'd been standing. And thankfully, this incident killed no one, mildly injured three people who received immediate assistance because the closest vehicle was an ambulance. But more importantly, CCTV revealed that that car for that previous hour beforehand had been in that same area at the same time where that man was praying, a spiritual war zone. And at the same time, his wife had woken early and had a powerful sense to pray for him on his walk to work as she had never had before. God was moving by his Spirit. We have to acknowledge these things don't always happen like this, but God is sovereign. These are just some examples of how God can take us by surprise when we listen to him and his leading. The Bible lists intercession as a spiritual gift. So it's something all Christians should do, but it's also a special gift of intercession. And it was highlighted to us in our home group as we looked at learning what our spiritual gifts were, as one of our guys, Gavin, identified that as one of his gifts. And last time I was coming up to speak, I felt I needed prayer particularly. I was struggling with my throat, and Gavin approached me to ask if he could pray for me. And just before I went up, I heard that wee baby May had fallen down all the stairs at home, was going off to hospital. I didn't know the outcome, but I had a real sense of peace as I spoke, and I was grateful for that prayer. And I talked to him last night what it meant to him in his life, and he said that sometimes God will wake him up in the night just with the name of someone to pray for. And that intercession is just a natural part of his daily life. He says some people connect naturally with God through worship or through his word. For him, he would say it very clearly through prayer like that. So we've been reminded why we should pray as intercessors, that the Trinity is constantly involved in intercession. God wants us to be intercessors. And lastly, that intercessory prayers overcome the devil and his plans. And as we consider what intercessory means in practice, the last section headline for us is look out. Look out. First of all, look out for the needs of others. What does that look like for me in practice? It means consciously making time to consider others. Beyond praying for family, I'm working through the church list, and I ask people by text if there's something that they need prayed for. And the beauty of doing that by text is that you can look back to remember what you were asked to pray for and to keep praying or to give thanks for that answer. Some people say that came just at the right time because God's timing is always best. It doesn't take a lot, but it means a lot. And we can all do it. We all have challenges that we face. But you know, unless you ask someone what to pray for, you may never know. And when you ask, you may be surprised of what's going on and how you can be able to help, to be equipped. Beyond that, for me, it's being aware of who God brings to mind by his Spirit and to remember the existing and the ongoing needs that I know about. I want to be honest. I told you before about a woman I knew who had become a Christian and who said to me she just could not imagine her husband ever becoming a Christian. I thought, how can that be? But you know, as time has gone on in life, I've come to realize that praying for those closest to us who don't yet walk by faith can be the hardest thing for us to believe. It seems so unlikely when there's so little opportunity, where there's so little sign of life. I was inspired this week when I read about the famous songwriter D.L. Moody. He had a list in his life of 100 people that he prayed for to come to faith. And every time someone came to faith, he would score them off the list and give thanks. And when he died, 96 of those people had come to faith. And some of you are giving thanks, and some of you are thinking, what about the other four? The other four came to faith at his funeral. That was just amazing and so inspiring and encouraging for me, and has challenged me to pray regularly, not to give up for the ones I love. And I hope it will do the same for you. Dashika is a member of the church here, who's a great encouragement and encourager and a woman of prayer. And I've asked her just to share a little bit about what it means to her in her day-to-day life. She does not particularly enjoy the spotlight, but she is going to come. Thank you. I'll take that. Thank you. We'll just take that mic as well. Thanks, Dashka. Not your favourite place.
Definitely not.
That's okay. I really appreciate you doing this for us. And I'm grateful for all your encouragement over the years. So when I talk to you a little bit about prayer, is prayer something that's always been a big part of your life?
Prayer is very much a part of my life. I pray when I walk on the streets and when I'm doing the housework or whatever. But it wasn't like that until a good few years ago. But in my journey, I became a Christian at 12. And then gradually over the years, I've grown in my prayer life. But it was during personal challenges in my life where I've had really difficult times. And I have been blessed with people praying for me. And I felt encouraged. And that has helped me in wanting to pray for others as well, yes.
Okay. So it's grown. And what kind of practical things do you do to help you? I mentioned about the phone for me is helpful because it's there. What works for you?
I write it down in my sort of prayer journal.
Old school.
Yes, old school very much. And I write down prayer requests and people who probably may have shared with me things, or if there's a particular need, if it's come on the KCC website, the email, I might, pray for, and also various other people I might pray for. And sometimes even when I'm having my quiet time, a name would come up and I would think, oh, I need to pray for that person. So I do write down in my journal and the date I prayed and date I've been praying for. And then eventually when the prayer is answered, I always write and say prayer is answered.
That's
so
great.
So that's my...
Thank you very much. You can go and relax.
Thank you.
Thank you. You can give that back to Alison. Thanks, Dashka. That's just a simple example of someone who is looking out to the needs of others. May we all grow in that area of our lives. And next, to look out to our community. We should be praying for God to be at work in our community. For example, as the parish look for a new minister, that is such a key thing for them, for us, and for this whole village. For the impact for good that can have in so many lives. To pray for those who are lost and lonely and struggling to come to faith. And the timing of the talk today, I believe, is not coincidental, as we have that joint prayer cafe with the parish here this Tuesday. And the last time we said to them, come 7:15 for coffee, we start at 7:30. They all pitched up at 7:15, and there was nobody here apart from one person serving tea from church. And then, of course, our lot come in at 7:30. But we were here, and it was an encouraging time together. But let me please urge you and encourage you to give 1 hour for that prayer time this week. 1 hour that can be transforming in eternal significance in so many ways. And perhaps if you have kids, that means making a sacrifice this week for one of you to be able to come along. It's an investment in the kingdom of God. If you're a younger person, it's for you as well. It's not for old people like me or Clive or even older. It's for everyone, and it's such an encouragement when we hear young people praying, as we've heard James praying this morning. And there's power when we pray together. God is there with us in a special way. That has to be something worth taking time for. The prayer cafe is such a time of blessing. And I don't want to miss out on it when it comes round. And I'm convinced it's God's desire for his people. So let us come together 1 hour to do that this week. Let me encourage you. It seems pretty obvious to people that prayer would be one of our church core values. But the reality was, when we sat down to think at the beginning, or quite a few years ago, what are our core values? How are they evidenced? And we had to say at that point that prayer obviously should be a core value, but that in reality it was not something that was evidenced as it should be. In practice, core value means that we need to make a priority to pray. And so the band pray before they practice. In the creche before the service, we pray every week. We pray for the speaker, with the speaker, with the service leader. And it's such an encouragement when that happens. For our outreaches, we pray before the cafe starts. We pray at toddlers. We pray for all our outreaches. And in home groups and in youth groups. So it should be something that is important for us as a church. Come and join us in the creche before church. Those few minutes would be great. And let us put our roots down in prayer together. And thirdly, to pray for the world, to look out to the world. And just as God's word was encouraging us to be thankful at all times, I believe God wants us to be concerned at all times about what is going on in our world. I know people that say, oh, I don't listen to the news anymore. It's too depressing. We are Christians. God has called us to make a difference and to pray about things. Yes, we can be in despair, of course, as we see what's going on in our news and in our papers. And that's why I believe Christians should read the newspapers, should listen to the news, because these are the resources for us to be able to pray for the needs of others. Things like this book help us to pray for the needs of our fellow Christians around the world who are in need, who are experiencing persecution. In our news, we can pray for people in disasters and war zones, those who are struggling with addiction, caught up in violence, our political leaders. There's so much to pray for when we look out to the world. So don't give up in despair. After the walls of Jerusalem were rebuilt by Nehemiah, the people were called and they gathered together under the word of God and in prayer before him. And prayer in the Bible and in modern times show that when a nation comes before God, he moves in a powerful way. There's an amazing story told about the Dunkirk landings, which I'd never heard before. I knew some of it, but not this most important part. The Allies were trapped on the coast with their backs to the sea as the German army approached them. The plan was to annihilate them. British generals secretly anticipated the loss of over 300,000 lives. What to do? There seemed no hope. There could be no intervention. And King George VI called the people of Britain for a day of prayer. And this is a queue to get into one of the cathedrals. Massive crowds gathered throughout the whole country in a somber mood to pray. Winston Churchill said that he prayed that at least 30,000 men could be saved. And on the day after the British boats arrived in France, an unexpected storm blew up, which prevented the Luftwaffe from flying. Inexplicably, Hitler ordered his army to halt for 3 days, which allowed the evacuation to take place. His generals were furious and could not understand this crazy decision. And then when the boats set sail the next day, rammed with people, the waters were completely calm, which allowed the packed boats safe passage back to England. Over 338,000 lives were saved. And a few days later, a day of thanksgiving of prayer was called for this event, which altered the outcome of the war. That's not so long ago, but I was encouraged to read this week, an email popped up, and said that the governor of Tennessee has called for a day of prayer on October the 10th for their state. And he said, prayer strengthens our family, our communities, our neighbors, and our relationship with God himself. That was great to hear. And we look at our country and we see it's in a bad way and it seems hopeless. Our country is not a state, but it's in a state. It needs prayer more than ever. And every one of us can play our part to make a difference. Do you have an outward look in life? It's so easy, as we've thought already, to be caught up in our own little worlds and our small lives. The upward look to God, it's the most important. But I would argue that the next most important is this outward look to others. It mirrors the biblical principle of putting God first, others second, and ourselves last. So let us be people who look out, to take the time to consider and pray for the needs of others, who look to our community and pray for God's will to be done, who look out to our world to see it transformed by the power of prayer. What a privilege we have to be part of God's purposes for us in his world, and we can all make a difference. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for this great gift of prayer that you give us. We thank you for the power of prayer, for the difference that can make in our church, our community, in our wider world. Help us not to be selfish people. Forgive us when we just think about ourselves. Help us every day to be looking out, to hear from you, to walk in your ways, to see the difference that makes in our lives. And what can seem like the drudge of work each day, that we can see your touch in the decisions we make and how we interact with others. As we pray for those around us, as we pray for those we love who don't yet know you, and to see the joy of prayers being answered. So help us to walk in your ways and bless us, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. The prayer team will be at the front here. Please speak to me if you'd like to on the way out, or if you want to meet up to talk further. I hope you'll be able to be part of a home group. If you're not, ask me about that. We can slot you in this week. If you want to be in a home group, we can do that as quickly. And let's grow in this whole area of prayer. Put our roots down as a church, but also as individuals. And take the opportunity to pray with someone in the prayer team, or just as you sit there in quiet. Thanks, Andy.